It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Monday, February 1st. I'm Patricia Naft. The Colorado Energy Office is teaming up with a nonprofit to bring affordable, renewable energy to low-income residents in Colorado. Grid Alternatives is working with five electric providers across the state, including San Miguel Power and Delta Montrose Electric Association. The nonprofit helps to cover the installation cost for the projects. The different electric providers will have different programs, but DMEA will be installing a community solar grid. Jim Hennigan, the renewable energy engineer with DMEA, says they already have one grid and it's popular.
It is presently sold out, so the capacity that we have to generate in those arrays is already leased by participating members in our service area. And there was no particular qualification. You just needed to be a DMEA member to participate. In this case, because of the cost contributions for the construction of the array that come from the Colorado Energy Office and Grid Alternatives, it is going to be specifically targeted to income-qualified members.
The goal of the program is to cut utility bills for those qualified by half. A 50% reduction in electrical costs is big, especially for low-income households who spend proportionally more of their money on utilities. Hennigan doesn't know how the program will pan out, but estimates there will be a lot of people signing up.
Absolutely. I anticipate that there'll be far more demand than there is capacity. What we're doing with this first array is attempting to establish the program, making sure we can, create a viable program. And then we'll have to assess after that first array is built and its capacity is taken up by participating members. At that point, we'll have to assess if we can continue the program or if we have to restructure, but it'll require an evaluation at that point to determine what we do moving forward.
He says they're still figuring out the program, but hopes to begin advertising for it in a few months. The Colorado Department of Transportation is trying to hammer home the message about highway fatalities. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
Last year, 545 people died in car crashes across the state.
It's not just a number. Every week, these are people's lives. These are your mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, and sometimes even children that are dying in these crashes.
That's Sam Cole, spokesperson for CDOT. He says every Wednesday on road signs across Colorado, they're going to start displaying a tally of the number of people killed on roadways so far this year. It's a grim update.
That's why we're doing this, because this is a tragedy every way you look at it. And I think as people see this number creep up week to week, they'll understand the gravity of the situation. And they'll start to take more responsibility for it and realizing that, wow, this is something that I can perhaps do something about by altering my own behaviors.
2015 saw an 11% increase in roadway deaths. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Three people were arrested in Grand Junction last week for setting up a recreational marijuana delivery service out of their home. This is Heidi Davidson with the Grand Junction Police Department.
We investigated over the course of several months and ultimately resulted in a search warrant on the home where over 15 pounds of marijuana and marijuana-related products were found in the home. We arrested three adults, two males and a female, for charges of distribution of marijuana, child abuse, possession of a weapon, and possession of drug paraphernalia.
This case is a little unusual in how legitimate of an operation they presented.
It was actually a pretty well-marketed and well-organized business plan. They had a website and social media presence and business cards. Business records were seized from the home. Unfortunately, the business that they were marketing is illegal.
Grand Junction has previously voted to prohibit the sale of recreational marijuana. A 75-year-old resident of Delta died on the Grand Mesa last week. According to the Mesa County Coroner, Dale Sukow died in a snowmobiling incident from ischemic heart disease, and the death was ruled natural. Roughly 3 weeks into Colorado's annual legislative session, a lot of bills are starting to get their first hearings. Benta Berkland talks to State House reporters about the upcoming week and how politics impacts the bills being heard in committee.
We're joined by Kristen Wyatt, a reporter with the Associated Press, and Peter Marcus with the Durango Herald. Some big policy issues are starting to get their first hearings at the Capitol in the next few days. I want to talk about one that failed last year and was highly controversial.
It's going to be an emotional time again at the legislature. We're going to have an end-of-life options bill again, and they tried it last year. Essentially, it's providing options to folks who want to end their own life if they're facing a terminal illness. You would have to have two physicians on board. They would have to make that decision themselves, be cognizant of the decision they're making. There were concerns last year about how to safeguard the medication. You don't want kids getting their hands on it. And then there's religious concerns with it also. I spoke with Dan Diaz. He's the husband of Brittany Maynard. Her story went viral, really. She kind of did some videos of herself. She was 29 years old. She had just the worst brain cancer. It was a tumor. It was so huge. There was no saving her. They gave her 6 months. And she documented her story and why she wanted to make this decision for herself. Dan, her husband, who still wears his wedding ring now on his right hand, so she's always with him, he was walking around the Capitol talking to lawmakers, trying to drum up support, sharing this incredibly emotional story. And he said it's already been a mixed reaction. This is an issue that isn't partisan. It crosses political lines. And it's a moral issue for some, it's a religious issue for others, and it's just common sense for some other people. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out.
And that is not likely to go very far, starting in the Republican-controlled Senate. And even though, as Peter said, it's not partisan, more Democrats support it. There's very few Republicans who do. So I think it'll be unlikely to get out of that chamber. Kristen?
It's been a very interesting session. It's definitely an election year with a divided legislature. A lot of things they're talking about. They know full well are not going to go to the governor's desk. They're talking to voters. The Democratic House and the Republican Senate are talking up things that they think are winners with the public. And it's almost more important that it becomes a headline than that it becomes a law at this point, because everybody's looking toward 2016. It's very close to the legislature. So it's a question of what voters think. Do they want to return the whole legislature to Democratic control or keep Republicans in charge of the Senate, maybe give them the House? So I think they're going to be pulling on the heartstrings all session to try to build public support.
So this is just the beginning of what you see happening over the next few months.
Yeah, whether it's guns, whether it's equal pay for women or abortion rights, you're going to see a lot of hot button issues they think move votes.
And let's not forget, we still have a looming budget to address also, where everything else they're talking about, for the most part, requires funding. And so that's going to be the biggest fight in the ultimate end, is how do you settle the budget so that there's funding for anything they want in the first place.
Thanks. That was Peter Marcus, a reporter with the Durango Herald, and Kristen Wyatt with the Associated Press. I'm Benta Berkland in Denver, and you've been listening to Capital Conversation.
For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft. Stay tuned for Go Betty and the Monday Morning Music Mix.